Greetings, University Christian Church friends. May the peace of Christ be with each of you. I invite you to come with me for a moment to the book of Acts and to Paul. Paul was an apostle of Jesus who was unafraid of conflict. In verse 6 of chapter 17, Paul is referred to as one of those people who have been turning the world upside down. First, with his actions, because of his faithful connections with the divine, we read of Paul performing healing miracles on individuals. And also, Paul turned the world upside down with his words and his stubborn persistence. At the beginning of chapter 17, Paul is arguing with the priests and devout leaders in the synagogue of Athens. Prior to Athens, he and his traveling companion Silas have been in Thessalonica, where for 3 days he was arguing with the religious leadership at the local synagogue there. The verse reads, as was his custom. But what did Paul have to argue about with the religious? Paul spent those many hours in conversation and heated debate about Jesus and Christ's resurrection. We come to understand that Paul found all the special altars and shrines in these towns that had been filled with objects of worship, sometimes made with gold, silver, or stone. All of these altars to an unknown God. Paul's argument: God does not live in shrines made by human hands. It is God who gives all things life and breath. We know God. We are God's creation. Only in God can we live and move and have our being. The phrase, God does not live in shrines made by human hands, has a certain profound meaning in these days of social distancing and quarantine. As people of faith, we cannot sit in the seats and pews of our sanctuaries, nor can our fellow Muslims go to mosque and pray, or our sisters and brothers of the Jewish faith, they cannot attend temple. We are unable to hear in person the music that comes from the pipes of organs, or the echo of notes from a grand piano. The shrines of our favorite dining places are closed and have been closed to us, apart from curbside or pickup, for many weeks now. One of my favorite chefs, David Chang, made the announcement this week that his DC Momofuku restaurant will not be opening again, ever. More importantly, though, the little family-owned cafes, pubs, bars, or food joints that we have come to love and rely on in our neighborhoods may also never be the same, ever. Our shrines of art, culture, theater, museums, parks, and playgrounds, they stand empty and silent. Someone even said to me on a Zoom call last week, they miss the noise of airplanes flying overhead. These are physical places that we find ourselves barred from in our new realities. I will confess, though, that it is the loss of physical contact with loved ones that hurts the most. My sweet nieces, ages 5 and 7, they baked me cookies for my birthday recently and made a special delivery to our back patio. From the safety of their car, they waved and wished me happy birthday, Auntie. I was to have been on a plane next week to help welcome into our lives the first child of some of my closest friends. Instead, with joy, I share with you all virtually Caden Joseph Harris Gloyer, born on Thursday, May the 14th, at a healthy 20 inches and 7 pounds. In these ongoing days of uncertainty, I am the first to claim how hard it is to be like the Apostle Paul, unafraid, making clear statements about our faith, proclaiming the steady and continuous good news of God's powerful saving love and grace. For we know each day is a new day, that we work intentionally and sometimes with struggle to accomplish all the tasks we lay out for ourselves. The ongoing challenge to be caring, self-aware, or ever conscious of others. The battle to be grateful, the struggle to rest, the evasiveness to be imaginative. For the past several weeks, I have been logging into a Wednesday evening online course offered through the Pacific School of Religion in Berkeley. Jeff Chang, an Asian American historian, journalist of hip hop culture and music, as well as a community organizer, has been teaching a course titled Living Democracy, Image and Culture. During the course, he introduced this concept of cultural strategy for change. It's the understanding that major social change requires a collective leap of imagination. Collectively, we must have faith for a better future so that as a communal body, we can bring about a just and equitable society in which no one, or let's put this into church language, no part of God's creation is left out or marginalized. When we think about the physical places that we are unable to safely go and gather together, I would venture to say that it is not about the physicality of these spaces or even what they contain. I don't think we will come back to the sanctuary of University Christian Church to say, "My goodness, I've missed this chair." Nor when we go back to our favorite restaurant will we think, "I feel more complete after eating off this plate or drinking once again from this glass of water." It is in these special and sacred places that our hearts and minds are elevated and inspired to think beyond our current realities. These spaces and places remind us of who we are and inspire us to who we seek to be. Once it is open and safe for us to go again, I know that somehow I will make my way to the east wing of the National Gallery of Art and climb the steps to the very top floor to spend a significant amount of time in the Rothko Room, where the light, the colors of the paintings, the enormity of the space speak volumes to my heart and inspire my spirit. While it's not only about the paintings or the room itself, it's in this space I am inspired to imagine, what does it mean to create, and what is creation? Likewise, the Apostle Paul is excoriating the Athenians to think beyond the confines of their shrines. Paul is challenging the faithful to consider the resurrection, our connectedness to God, and ultimately to one another. How can we be mindful of each other? What is it that we need to be our whole selves? Jeff Chang, in his class on democracy and culture, spent a fair amount of time having us reflect on the ways that artists see and experience the world and how they invite us to imagine change. We listened and read the lyrics of Nina Simone's 1965 extended recording of the African-American spiritual, Sinner Man. "So I run to the Lord. Please hide me, Lord. Don't you see me praying? Don't you see me down here praying?" Listening to the song about justice and our engagement with it, we can be reminded that it was also in 1965 that President Lyndon B. Johnson signed into legislation the Voting Rights Act that prohibited racial discrimination in voting. So yes, we are confined to our homes and to the limited places of essential services, our grocery or drugstore runs, a necessary visit to the doctor, maybe that curbside pickup from our neighborhood bakery or pizzeria, Yet, just as Paul reminded the faithful in Thessalonica and Athens, we do not need to be limited to the walls and buildings that we live. God calls us to be mindful of what is to come, to be actively engaged in how we seek to nurture communities that will care for all people. What are the systems that need to be built to ensure that every child can be safe, educated, and thrive in their growing years? What do we need to develop so that our seniors and older adults receive medical care, affordable medicine, and safe housing? How do we build laws and systems that care for all immigrants and those migrating across borders for work, asylum, or to be reunited with family? Maybe most important for our society right now is how to imagine the paths forward so that we can step by step support and sustain the 36 million Americans who have claimed job loss and unemployment. We are indeed separated and distanced from each other for the time being, and our everyday commitments center around staying healthy, cooking meals, keeping our spaces livable, and for those of us working, and ensuring that our young ones have activities and some moments to play. And for those of us working from home, sustaining a fair balance of work and home life. God is with us in these common everyday activities. And let us also be reminded to make the intentional space to raise our eyes and our hearts to collectively imagine what more can and needs to be done to not just restore our communities, but to continue to imagine and create structures of justice and beloved communities. It is unacceptable to merely survive our current crisis or hope to go back to the way things were. That would be to ask us to remain on Good Friday. We are in the wake of Easter, and like Paul, the victory of the resurrection. Grace Lee Boggs was an Asian American activist and organizer for labor rights for communities of color in Detroit for over 70 years. She lovingly identified as Afro-Chinese American. In her writings, she references that the next revolution might be thought of as advancing humankind to a new stage of consciousness, creativity, and social political responsibility. Grace asks us to not focus on the brokenness of systems that divide and overwhelm us. Grace asks us to honor each other and to be active agents of transformation. So, for Grace, for Paul, for Caden Joseph Harris Gloyer, and all others that cry for us to be collectively imaginative, let us keep our hearts, minds, and vision focused on the horizons of what is to come and how we will be a collective part of this sacred and holy creation. May it be so. Amen.